to pray about it, wait on the Lord about it. As I've come home, I've read through these scriptures several times, and they continue to minister to my spirit. And I think it's pertinent. And tonight, everybody say word of caution. Tonight's a word of caution, okay? I want to preface this by saying that I don't have to say. I'm going to preface this by saying I don't have to say. We live in a vile society. And as I look around the room, I see a lot of faces of people who have to, they work in public places. They work in offices, or maybe they work on job sites, or they have interaction. I'm guessing, Brother Chamberlain, that you don't always appreciate every conversation that goes on in your car as you're driving people around. Right. There's things that we don't have control over. And I think I told this story a few weeks ago. I was getting ready to leave on a business trip, and my wife is always, you know, make sure, hey, have a good trip, love you, bye. But that night, she made a statement to me as I was walking out the door. She said, guard your heart. And that was just before I heard this scripture just mentioned in passing. And I knew what she meant. That's all she said, but I knew what she meant. You know, there's a scripture, I believe it's in the book of Proverbs, that talks about keeping your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So if I'm to keep my heart, when I think of keeping my heart, Sister Lindsay, I think of putting up some sort of blockade. I'm gonna be careful what I allow into my heart. Now, how would something get into my heart? My eyes. Anybody else got anything? Your ears. Those are the two main portals of ways that things can get into my heart, right? What I see, what I witness, what I watch, my mind, my thought process, my ears, what I listen to is a direct portal into my heart. That's how stuff gets in there. You know, it's really sad that I see from time to time different things, and they're sad situations. And it stays with you for a few hours. And you find yourself a few hours later thanking the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you've taken care of me and that I'm not in this situation. I at times look at scenarios and different things, and we've wrestled and had struggles with our children's health. And then you get around other folks who you see that their children is in dire straits and very, very detrimental health issues. And you say, you know what, this little thing that I'm dealing with over here with my son, that's nothing. Thank you, Father, for their health. But we see things and they stick with us, and they get into our spirit, they get into our heart, and so because of this, I became keenly aware of the environment that I live in, that I work in. My wife, who is very blessed and fortunate to get to stay home and take care of our children, we were out somewhere the other day. I don't remember what we were doing, and we were walking. I think we were alone, and we were walking down the sidewalk, and somebody nearby us swore, and she said, "Oh!" And I looked at her, and I said, "I feel that way on every Monday morning. I go to work, and somebody swears the first, you know, it usually takes about 2 hours or so, and you hit that first swear word, and you're like, whoa, whoa, Jesus' name." And then by Friday, you're like, "What? Huh? Yeah? You know?" Can we be real tonight? It's almost like it wears you down. Now, I'm not saying I start swearing by Friday. Let's just get that. But it wears on you. On Monday morning, that first person that comes to you, like, man, you wouldn't believe what happens this weekend. I don't want to hear it. Right. By Friday, you're not, you know, you're not involved in the conversation, but you're listening. Huh, that sounds interesting. Wow. Oh, my goodness. And those, all those things begin to enter into your spirit. Did I go up and ask? I want every detail of everything that happened last night. No. And just in the process of time, in the process of who I am and what I do in society. You see things. You take things in. I remember nothing ever really bothering me from the standpoint of a TV commercial. I didn't care. I mean, I'm a young adult. I'm watching TV, you know, TV commercial comes on. I'm watching a football game, commercial comes on. And then I had kids. And I'm sitting there and something comes on. I'm like, hey, cover your eyes. Oh, my goodness. Where did this come from? Who put this on my TV? I don't want them seeing that. You've been watching that for like the last 5 years and didn't even bother you. But it's just part of society. We become so calloused to things because it's what we see. We got to guard against that. Guard your heart with all diligence. Be careful what you surround yourself with. Be careful what environments that you find yourself in. Brother Ben has shared with me multiple times of some of the personal situations that he ends up in a group of 25, 30, 40 very crude young men. And the garbage that he has to put up with. Now, I'm not picking on Ben tonight. Some of that's accountability. Hey, you know what? I'm in situations that are vile. There's stuff going up on walls and things that I don't want to see. People talking about things I don't want to see. I'm stuck with these guys on a military base in the middle of nowhere for 6 months at a time. In Jesus' name. Thank God for young men who recognize, hey, I'm in the middle of a battle, spiritually and physically. And the enemy wants to chip away at that stuff. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about that. You know, it's where you work. You know, it's just what you live in. Don't be such a holy roller about that stuff. And all the while, we become become callous to it. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Praise God. Lord's in control tonight. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, I want to stop there for a second. Does anybody, I'm not going to go there tonight on the screen, but can anybody just holler out what you remember from Genesis chapter 6 about the world that Noah lived in? It was vile. I think it says somewhere in there in the KJV that every thought was evil continuously. Did I read that somewhere? Or am I making that up? Yet, Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and the scripture says that he was a righteous man. Somehow in the middle of all that, oh, you don't understand, it's 2019, and you know that stuff's just everywhere. Pastor, that stuff just got put in my Instagram feed by Instagram. It's the Facebook algorithm that put that in my feed. While in a society where every thought was evil continually, Noah found a way to keep himself. He found a way. Don't tell me it's impossible in 2019 because Noah did it. He found grace in the eyes of God. He became a preacher of righteousness. He didn't say it was easy. He didn't say people didn't laugh at him. He didn't say people didn't make fun of him. He didn't say they didn't tell him he wasn't out of his mind, Brother Toms. Verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. Everybody say, in seeing and hearing. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Whew. This is heavy. Brandon doesn't say he ever participated in it. I'm not gonna saint Brother Lot tonight. He had his issues. But the Bible doesn't say that Lot was out carousing around Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible doesn't say that he was participating. It just said in seeing and hearing. He was, the scripture says, righteous soul. He was in right. Somehow in all of that, he stayed righteous. He stayed in right standing with God. I don't know if he was doing sacrifices every night. In the New Testament, he was repenting every night before I went to bed. In Jesus' name, forgive me, cleanse me. I don't know how he stayed in right standing with God, but he did. It doesn't tell us that he participated in the mess, but in seeing it and in hearing it and in living among it day in and day out, it vexed his soul. Now, I'm going to take you here. I'm going to jump to another app because I got an app that'll tell us about this word vex. Give me a second here. You ready? To question by applying torture. To torture. To vex with grievous pains of body or mind. To torment. To be harassed or distressed. This is the state of Lot. In an environment he wasn't participating in, he was just living in it. He was just trying to survive in it. Next verse, please. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Maybe. I mean this seriously. Maybe the Lord is only talking to me about this. But I felt this so strongly. I'm going to use the word convicted by this. And maybe it's because I work in an environment that it just over time it just seems like it degrades more and more and more and more. And I'm careful. I guard myself. I don't participate in that. But the warning of the Lord is in seeing and hearing it. There's a vexation of soul that happens. A torment. Tearing apart. One definition said it's like a ship on the seas buffeting a headwind. Trying to work against it all the time. And you can't get it out of your spirit. You can't get it out of your mind. You go try to have a time of prayer and all you can think about is all the things that you had to hear and see all day long at work. So I'm cautioning you tonight as members of the body of Christ. Guard your heart. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful what you allow your kids and to see and who you allow them to be around. Be careful about those things. What environments you allow them to be into. I used to really enjoy going to sporting events. I really enjoyed it. And then I thought, you know what would even be even better? I'd really enjoy this if my kids were with me. So I took my daughter to an event, and I thought, oh my goodness, I can never do this again. Why? Did she participate in something bad? No. I didn't want what she saw and what she heard to vex her soul. In a way that God had to literally intercede and pluck Lot out of the middle of it. While he was righteous, for somehow, some way, he didn't have the wherewithal. You know, could God have spoke to Lot and said, get out? Go read how he had to get him out. He came to a place where he became so entrenched, not in participating, but in what he saw and what he heard, that he couldn't get out of it. It took the angels of God to drag him out. I want us to stand right now. You know what you live in. You know what you have to participate in on a daily basis. You know the environment that you live and work in. Now, if you're in a perfect environment, pray for the rest of us. If you're in an environment that doesn't have to listen to garbage and smut all day long, pray for somebody else. And if you're in an environment where you feel like your mind's constantly bombarded and you have to listen to things that you don't want to listen to, but it's there. I want you to lift your hands right now, and I want you to ask the blood of Jesus to wash over your heart and mind. Ask the blood of Jesus to be a hedge about your spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, You can be seated. Brother Kendrick's coming to close this out. I want to share one more thing with you. Sometimes there's pressure. I get pressure every now and then. You know, we'd really like to see at these team building events that we do after hours, you know. You never come to any of them. And I don't plan to. Now, there's events that I go to that are customer-oriented events, and I have customers there, and I'm there. I go there. I take care of my customer, make sure I interact with them. I'm talking about when coworkers want to go get together after hours to just, you know, happy hour. This is a team-building event down at the racetrack. I'm saying this for somebody's benefit tonight. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. Protect your soul. Guard your heart. Be careful. You have to put up with enough as it is. Don't sign up for more torture. Amen. Brother Kendrick, please come.
Hallelujah. Okay. Oh, my God. I didn't understand why the Lord had me reading the book of Habakkuk until just now. And so I want to share with you, I encourage you to read the whole book. You get a chance. It's really long. It'll take you forever. It's like three chapters. There's not really a... The first thing you notice in there is it doesn't really begin with any sort of a chronological reference. It doesn't begin with a lot of them. It says, in the days of this king or that king, that helps you understand where things are sitting. But pretty quickly, you get the sense that it's not a very bright and cheery time in Israel. And so it's probably in a time of captivity. It's likely in a time when... the Lord was holding the people to account for the things that they had stepped away from him, but the result was that the enemy was running rampant, and in many ways, it was a lot like what we see today, and you get the sense when you read kind of the first chapter of Habakkuk, and again, the chapter is, of course, ones we inserted in there, so the divisions are somewhat arbitrary, but I get the sense in the first part of it that Habakkuk is almost a little bit frustrated, a little bit confused. Why is he seeing all of this evil happening? And by the time he gets to the second one, then you've got kind of this idea of Habakkuk's idea of what judgment should look like. And it's pretty severe. But then in the third chapter, you have more of a sense of the perspective that I think the Lord wants to share with us tonight. So just to give you kind of the shortened version of that, I'm going to read a little bit for you in the first chapter of Habakkuk, and then we're going to read a lot of the third chapter and see if you come to the same sense, especially in the context of what Elder Johnstone just shared, come to the same sense that I did. I'm just going to read this to you in Amplified here because I have it in front of me. The burden or oracle, the thing to be lifted up, which Habakkuk the prophet saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry out to you of violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and wrong, and yourself look upon and cause me to see perverseness and trouble? For destruction and violence are before me, and there is strife, and contention arises. Anybody feel like that sometimes? All I got to do is just go to news.google.com, and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm in the first chapter of Habakkuk. It's just terrible. Verse 4, therefore the law is slackened, and justice and a righteous sentence never go forth. For the hostility of the wicked surrounds the uncompromisingly righteous. Therefore justice goes forth perverted. You ever kind of get the sense that people are getting away with stuff, and it's kind of just continues and continues, and there seems to be no accounting for it, and there seems to be no end to it. And in our flesh and our humanity, we can get overwhelmed, we can be vexed, as we said now, by just the simple quantity of it. And I think that's really where the prophet was here. And he goes on, and in verse 5, a little bit of the way that Amplify does it, it says, "Look around," in brackets, "you, Habakkuk," replied the Lord. That means that that wasn't in the original text, but when you read it, you see that it is actually the Lord that's speaking to him. "Lord, look around, you, Habakkuk," replied the Lord, "among the nations and see and be astonished, astounded, for I am putting into effect a work in your day such that you would not believe it if it were told you." Now, I'm just going to kind of zoom back down through this a little bit here, and I'll go down to verse 10. He's talking about the Chaldeans and others that are invading in this sort of endless army that comes in. Actually, in verse 9, "They all come for violence. Their faces turn eagerly forward, and they gather prisoners together like sand." What a picturesque statement of the way that it seems people are just swept up sometimes in the evil, in the perverseness of the day, and become so quickly prisoners of the enemy, prisoners of their flesh, entangled with all of these things. It's such a picturesque statement there. In verse 10, "They scoff at kings, and rulers are a derision to them. They ridicule every stronghold, for they heap up dust for earth mounds and take it. Then they sweep by like a wind and pass on, and they load themselves with guilt, as do all men whose own power is their God." You're kind of getting the sense here of a lot of almost the there's a word originally came from German, the Zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, the sense of what's happening now. This is very much kind of what I can get. And you can see as you go through here, Habakkuk starts to kind of challenge the Lord a little bit and ends up apologizing for it a few verses later. But he's basically trying to reconcile this fact that the Lord is holy and the Lord has is righteous, and yet he is allowing these things to happen. And so this continues on forward in verse 17 of that last chapter, of the first chapter. "Shall he therefore continue to empty his net and mercilessly go on slaying the nations forever?" It's this sense of this is never going to stop. So again, I'm going to skip down through mostly in Habakkuk chapter 2, although it's in the midst of this that we find this statement. It always surprises me sometimes. I've got these little catchphrase verses that I enjoy, and then I don't realize the context that they're in. Habakkuk 2 and 14, "But the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And so in the midst of all of this, Habakkuk starts to get the right perspective. He starts to get an eternal perspective. He starts to shift his view from what he sees on a daily basis to what he sees in the Spirit and what he knows is coming in the kingdom of God. And he looks to a time when the glory of God will cover the entire earth. And that becomes his focus, and it starts to change things. And again, by the time we get down into chapter 3, listen to this. He actually says to set this to wild, enthusiastic, and triumphal music. So this becomes a song of praise. So verse 1, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet," set to wild, enthusiastic, and triumphal music. "O Lord, I have heard the report of you and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make yourself known. In wrath, earnestly remember love, pity, and mercy." See how those contrast with the hatred, with the lack of judgment that he saw in the first part of it? And then comes and says, "God, as if approaching from Sinai, came from Teman," which represents Edom, "and the Holy One from Mount Paran in the Sinai region. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. You see him looking towards a time. You see him looking towards a place in the spirit beyond what he saw on a daily basis, beyond the impunity of the evil that he saw around him. And it says in verse 4, and his brightness was like the sunlight, rays streamed from his hand, and there in the sunlight splendor was the hiding place of his power. Before him went the pestilence as in Egypt, and burning plague followed his feet as in Sennacherib's army. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations, and the eternal mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills bowed low. His ways are everlasting, and his goings are of old. That phrase in there, that he stood and measured the earth, you find that concept repeated and in a number of other prophets. There was another one that I was reading. I don't remember which one. Might have been Nahum. I'm kind of been stuck in the minor prophets here lately. But he said in there that the Lord came out with a plumb line, which always measures straight. So, and there's also a concept of measurement happening in the in Revelation. So clearly, there came a time when all this lawlessness, when all of this this craziness that was going on, there will come a time when the Lord says enough, and he takes a sure and solid measurement of it, and he restores truth and absolutism to a world that is devoid of truth and is seeking instead relativism. He brings that in, and we see that picture here. In verse 7, I, Habakkuk, in vision, saw the tents of Cushan, which is probably Ethiopia, in affliction, the tent curtains of the land of Midian, and trembled. Were you displeased with the rivers, O Lord, or was your anger against the rivers that you divided? Was your wrath against the Red Sea that you rode before upon your horses and your chariots of victory and deliverance? Your bow was made quite bare, sworn to the tribes of Israel by your sure word, were the rods of chastisement, scourges, and calamities. Selah. With rivers you cleaved the earth, bringing forth waters in dry places. This is an image and a picture of the judgment of God coming on the earth and displacing all else that would stand in its way. It makes a few other references in here. Verse 12, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled and threshed the nations in anger. And verse 13, you went forth and have come. Now listen to this. You went forth and have come for the salvation of your people, for the deliverance and victory of your anointed people Israel. You smote the head of the house of the wicked, laying bare the foundation even to the neck. Selah. You pierced with his own arrows the head of the enemy's hordes. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor secretly. You've trodden the sea with your horses beside the great heap and surging waters. And it goes forward down into here in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. You see that reference to salvation? Couple of times there. I don't know if this is completely the solution for how the Lord helps us stay on track, but I do know that what worked for the prophet here and what I read here is he took his focus off of the day-to-day activities and focused it instead on the salvation of God. The salvation of God is something that reveals not just his action, because again, Habakkuk was living in a time where he hadn't seen the salvation of God yet. He was still looking for a time when that would happen. The salvation of God reveals his character. It reveals the character and very nature of God, that he is a God who saves. Saves from all of this that we see around us? Well, sure. But mainly that he saves us into righteousness, restores us into right relationship with him, and then carries us forward into glory. That is the focus that we need to have on a daily basis. Because if I'm caring about my salvation, then I'm caring and thinking about my relationship with God. And then that becomes the measuring point for any of the things that I interact with. And on a daily basis, if I'm always pursuing a relationship with God, then I have daily opportunities to check in and see whether or not I accidentally took in some things that now need to go. That's why it's so important to have that sort of daily relationship. Again, not out of ritual, but because He is indeed the God of our salvation. And that should be our focus. If we can stand here in the last verse, in verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. The Lord is my God. He is my God of salvation. And that is what I resolve to have as my daily focus. He is the God who saves. He is the God who restores. And even though I may have difficulty at times reconciling the amount of evil and wickedness that I see around me, I always have access to the presence of God. And in the presence of God, I find His righteousness and I find His peace. I find an understanding of the eternal, and that becomes my focus as I get my eyes off of this world that will, yes, one day account for all of the things that are going on here. I take my eyes off of that, and I look toward heaven, and I look toward my Jesus who has saved me, and that becomes my focus. Amen? Can we pray here together? Lord, I thank You so much for all the blessings that You've given me, Father. But above all else, I thank You that You are my Savior. I am so grateful this day, God, for everything that You have led me through. But God, I am most assuredly grateful that You are my Savior. Oh, in the name of Jesus, remind us daily, God, of Your greatness. Remind us daily, God, of a time coming when Your glory will fill the earth as the waters covered the seas. Oh, in the name of Jesus, impart unto us, oh God, a new resolve in Your Spirit. Oh, let us stay focused and sure, oh God, on the things of You. Go with us now, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a great rest of your week. And now you can fellowship.